today as we come to the table.
Daniel's sleeping that night, and that's where we come to verse 19. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. I can imagine Daniel at that moment going, yes! Can you imagine going to sleep and God giving you something so sure that you knew this is the dream and this is the interpretation? I would be excited just to see the visions that God had for the future, but to realize I'm not going to die. None of us are going to die. We're going to live, and God has shown himself powerful. What a great moment this would have been for Daniel. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his.
What is the most impossible thing you can think of? Guessing a number your friend is thinking of? Trying to guess someone's name before meeting them? As daunting as those tasks may seem, being asked to guess what someone dreamed is way, way harder. It's impossible. But God specializes in the impossible. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. When the impossible happens, the only choice is to give God the glory. Today, Pastor Mark shows us an account of Daniel's life where God showed up and did what only God can do. As a result, not only were an incredible amount of lives saved, but Daniel was able to glorify God in front of a nation of unbelievers. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
The Chaldeans answered the king, and they said, there's not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there's no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. The gods are up there somewhere. We're down there. We can't answer that. Only they would be able to answer such a request. You're unreasonable, O king. And again, remember, the enemy is always unreasonable. For this reason, the king was angry, and he was very furious. And he gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. No doubt it started with those guys standing right there. He probably said, you can't tell me the dream. No one can. Kill them. Right now, destroy them. And they were like, oh my goodness. And they begin to kill them, probably right there in the room. And he tells Arioch, his commander of his army, his executioners, go out and kill them all. Just take them out. Again, look at the authoritarian, the brutalness, again, of the spirit of Antichrist, this enemy working in mankind, if you will. Just wipe them out. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch. Now, we know this Arioch is the name of the guy that came to carry out the executions against Daniel and the others, because it tells us right here. No doubt he shows them and goes, all right, come out here. You have to die. Unless you can tell the dream and the interpretation, I'm putting you to death. And the captain of the king's guard, Arioch, he answered him, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. But he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Daniel knew the king. He was known to the king. He said, look, I am one of your spiritual advisors. I understand that. I realize no one can give you the answer. Just give me time. I don't have an answer right now. Will you give me until tomorrow? Give me time. And no doubt Daniel's thinking, this is it, God. Either I'm going to die and my friends are going to die with me, or you're going to do something supernatural. Look, I never want to be in that place, but that's kind of an exciting place to be. Because either God's going to give us the grace and we're going to enter right into the kingdom, or God's going to do something amazing. And God here for Daniel does something amazing. Then Daniel went to his house, and he made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was their Jewish name. That they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret. so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Can you imagine, again, the prayer session that began with those guys? Falling down on their knees saying, God, we're ready. If it's our time, then we're ready to come. But Lord, if it's not our time, we need you to move in a supernatural way. You've given our fathers visions. You've done this throughout history for our people. Here we are now again, captive in Babylon. God, you can give us a vision. You can show us what this dream is. Now, I don't know what their dream was. It doesn't tell us. But no doubt it was something along those lines as they're crying out to God. That's what we would have been praying. And again, referencing God's faithfulness in the past. And so they do that. They're seeking the Lord. They're crying out for God to move. They split up, apparently go to bed. Daniel's sleeping that night. And that's where we come to verse 19. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. I can imagine Daniel at that moment going, yes. Can you imagine going to sleep and God giving you something so sure that you knew this is the dream and this is the interpretation? I would be excited just to see the visions that God had for the future, but to realize I'm not going to die. None of us are going to die. We're going to live, and God has shown himself powerful. What a great moment this would have been for Daniel. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes times and seasons. He removes kings and raises them up. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Notice how many times in this he's going to say, Lord, you're the one that has all this. God, you're the one that gets the glory. You're the one exalted. He's excited about God's greatness, as we should be as well. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You've given me wisdom and might. In other words, you've not only shown me what's going to happen, you've given me the strength to go and stand before the king and declare it. And let me tell you something, that's needed. If God calls you to do something, you need his might and his power to do it, because the spiritual battle is real. And he says, and you've now made known to me what we ask of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand. Then Daniel, no doubt early that next morning, went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation. And I can imagine the look on Arioch's face. And then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation. And the king, no doubt his attention greatly just focused in on Daniel, said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I've seen and its interpretation? In other words, you've heard from God in heaven. There's no way you could do this otherwise. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers and the magicians and the soothsayers that cannot declare it to the king, they can't declare it, in other words, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. I love Daniel. He gives God all the glory. You know, Daniel didn't say, yes, I'm a very spiritual man, and while I was deeply in prayer and fasting, God came to me and spoke to me in a vision, and he's granted this to me that I might now grant it to you. No, he's saying, this is God. He's the one that reveals secrets. Nobody else could do this but him. I take no credit. There's nothing about me. This is God in heaven. And note this, he says, God has revealed to you what will happen in the latter days. Why is that important? Because there's two terms used about the end times, last days and latter days, consistent throughout Scripture. Last days is always speaking about from the cross until now. The last days, believe it or not, theologically and biblically, according to the Bible, began at the cross, because there's been more days prior to that in Earth's history. We're now in the last days. But the last days is different than being at the latter days or the latter years. That means every time latter is used in the Bible in relation to prophecy, it is always speaking of the very, very end, right before the second coming of Christ. So what he's saying to him is this. God has shown you everything that's going to happen, maybe not all the details, quite obviously, but everything that's going to happen kingdoms-wise from now until the very day that God takes over this earth. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what it will be. No doubt you can imagine Nebuchadnezzar scooting up on the edge of his throne saying, that's exactly what I was thinking. What is going on here? But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. And then he says, you, O king, were watching and behold a great image. Listen, this is when his heart would have stopped and his jaw would have dropped. He would have sat up on the edge of his throne and looked at Daniel and said, oh my goodness, that was my dream. This is straight from the gods or wherever it's coming from. He would have been all ears and staring at Daniel with intensity at this moment. Daniel goes on, this great image whose splendor was excellent stood before you and its form was awesome. That means it's just a splendor and power and glory and just something beyond words almost. He said, that's what you were seeing. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly of thighs of bronze, belly and thighs rather of bronze, and its legs of iron. Its feet partly of iron and partly of clay, the last kingdom being the Roman kingdom. Again, we'll get to that more in a moment. You watched while the stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron and the clay and the bronze and the silver and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell you the interpretation of it before the king. Now, I don't know if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were standing there with him. They may have been. But again, look at Daniel's humility. This is from God, and he gave it to all of us that were seeking God together and asking for an answer. Now we will tell you the dream, the interpretation rather. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of heaven, he's given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them. You are this head of gold. So the very first kingdom, that's a worldwide kingdom from this point on till the end, the Babylonian kingdom, shown as a head of gold, if you will. That is the most precious metal. And we're going to see it works from the most precious metals down to less precious, but harder and firmer and meaner as it drops. You're the head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours. We know Daniel, during Daniel's day, this kingdom took over. It was the Medo-Persian Empire. The Babylonian kingdom fell to the Medes and the Persians, and the two kingdoms together became a world rulership. That's the second kingdom he's talking about. We can now look back and see that historically. Then another kingdom, a third of bronze. We know what happened after the Medo-Persian kingdom fell. It was Alexander the Great and the Greek kingdom, where Alexander conquered the entire world. Again, an amazing commander and leader, not a very good man, but an amazing commander and leader. As a matter of fact, this is where Germany got their idea of the Blitzkrieg. What he would do is he would get large numbers and go so quickly, he would overwhelm his enemies. He took over the whole world in an unbelievably short amount of time. That'll be the third kingdom, a kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And this is where we come now to today's kingdom of iron. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, insomuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. The legs of iron. This is exactly what Rome was like. If you go back and look at Roman history, they put up with nothing. They didn't just defeat their enemies, they crushed their enemies. Anyone that was defiant to the government, anyone that was defiant to what the emperor said, they were crushed, killed, removed, imprisoned, whatever the case might be. He's saying, yes, this is the fourth kingdom, but note this, it has two legs. It's going to be resurrected. This second leg of iron is going to come on the scene, Daniel's saying, in the last days. And that's what we're watching happen. That's why it's so harsh. That's why it's so urgent. That's why it's so cruel. It's because it is the revived Roman Empire who operated the exact same way. Notice they crush everything that's in their path. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. In other words, what he's saying is, when this iron kingdom comes in the last days, not everyone on the earth is going to want to join in and be a part of it, but they're not going to have any choice. You see, the iron will be so strong, all the nations and peoples of the world will be forced under this mandate to take this mark and to go along with this worldwide kingdom for the betterment of mankind, this revived world kingdom, this revived world empire. But notice there's going to be iron, and with that there'll be toes of clay. Imagine a foot of iron and you're molding, like an artist would do, toes of clay and putting them in place. And then once you mold them in place, you let them dry, and then you spray paint them. If you set that statue up, you'd never know that those feet were brittle. But if you take a mallet and strike those feet, what happens? Those toes are going to break into little pieces. Now, the larger part will remain because it's larger and made of iron. But there's going to be those that are very fragile, and they're involved because they have to be and don't want to be. As a matter of fact, there's probably going to be a large portion of Americans who miss the rapture, who are not only going to be a part of this worldwide, you know, mark that everybody has to take on their hand or their forehead, and they're going to be forced to do it. They're either going to do it, or the Bible says they will be put to death. Brother will betray brother, father his own son. Everybody's going to turn on each other, and it will happen. Again, you're feeling the headwinds of it now. So it's going to be a kingdom that's united, but it's like, I would never take this mark, but I have to, or they're going to kill me. So I'm going to take this mark, partly of iron, partly of clay. Verse 42, and as the toes and feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, while this is going on, this final revived Roman Empire, in other words, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. This is talking about the second coming. Right in the middle of all this, Jesus Christ will come back, surprise everyone, disrupt everything. He will take control, and he will rule and reign, and we will rule and reign with him. And he says, the kingdom shall not be left to other people. That is, it's going to be totally the Lord in absolute control. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, all these other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. I love it. Insomuch as you saw the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, that is Jesus, our rock, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, that is every other kingdom that's gone before and all the mixture of this kingdom that will be in the revived Roman Empire, that the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. Note this, the dream is certain and its interpretation is sure. Daniel knew beyond a shadow of a doubt. Daniel spoke with authority, and the very same thing is true today. This will come to pass. The dream is true and the interpretation is sure. This is going to happen. Now, if we stop right there, some of you might be thinking, well, that's not very encouraging. Thanks for building us up, Pastor. We really enjoyed today. We feel encouraged. We're ready to go out there and just die, or whatever the case might be, right? Listen, Jesus told us and God tells us what's going to happen so we won't be afraid. So that we'll understand, why is my boss, why is the government so harsh? Why is this mandate so urgent when the numbers are really not showing that? Why is everything so cruel? Why is everything so you will do it or else? What is going on? The world will never know this, but you know, Daniel chapter 2. There's a kingdom of iron that's now being resurrected. It's the second leg of the Roman Empire. The world will not understand this, but you will know, Daniel, and my followers will know because I will show them. I will open their eyes. The interpretation is sure. The dream is certain. It is going to happen. But here's the good news. Listen, I don't know how much of the storm we're going to go into. I've told you that. We may experience some. The wrath of man, the wrath of Satan, we're not adverse to that. We just get to miss the wrath of God, which I'm thankful for because it's way worse than the wrath of man and the wrath of Satan. So we may have to go through some stuff. I don't know. But this is what he says. Before this kingdom gets established with this world leader, which is when it really gets bad, the church is going to be gone. How do I know that? Listen to me. And if you want to go back and listen to Daniel chapter 9, we have it online. Find any number of great teachers out there that teach the book of Daniel. You'll find that it's consistent through all those that are expository teachers. In Daniel chapter 9, it tells us this. It says that when that Antichrist, the world leader, the revived Roman emperor of the revived Roman kingdom, this kingdom of iron that's coming back on the scene as we're living and watching, when he signs a treaty with the nation of Israel and all the surrounding nations to finally have peace with Israel that the world's always been seeking so desperately, it says that from that point, it will be exactly 2,520 days until the second coming. He gives the exact number of days from that point until the second coming. Problem. Jesus said no one knows the day or the hour. Can we defy the words of Jesus? I think not. Then what does that tell us? Jesus is talking about some other event that we will not know the day or in the hour of. Because everyone that is here on the earth after the rapture, if they know the Bible, and many will be getting saved after that, they will know the day and the hour by Daniel chapter 9, and they'll be listening to teachings, and they will figure it out. They could literally take a calendar and put X's on each day, and count down the days until the second coming. Jesus says, nobody can know the day or the hour that I'm coming. So we have two things he's talking about very clearly. One is the second coming that people will know, and the other is the rapture of the church that no one knows except the Father and the Son now that's in heaven. So there's going to be a surprise trumpet blast. Jesus said, watch, you don't know what hour. He said it multiple times, watch, you don't know what hour. Again, that shows us it's going to be something we can't count down to. It's going to be something that's by surprise. And it's going to be something where a clock starts when the Antichrist signs it. That means it has to happen prior to the Antichrist signing that treaty. Because the moment that Antichrist signs the treaty, I can defy the words of Christ. I can now know the day or the hour. That will never happen as far as the rapture goes. But as far as the second coming, you will know, which tells me this. That means we have to be out of here before that treaty is signed, which means we have to be out of here before that final 7 years begins, which is why one of the many reasons I firmly believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Again, I go into detail in that booklet that's out there. That's why I put it out there in case you want to do further study on that for your own. But know this, there is a storm coming. There is another kingdom on the rise. It's an iron kingdom that's going to be much worse than you're going to lose your job if you don't do what we command you to do. It's going to be you're going to lose your life if you don't take this mark on your hand or your forehead, and no one's going to have a choice. It will be a worldwide iron kingdom, if you want to say a fist of iron. But here's the good news. You're going to be yanked out of here and swept off your feet as the bride of Christ before that ever takes place. Rejoice. Know the word of God. Know why you believe what you believe. Do your own homework. Don't believe your pastor. God's not going to judge you based on what I taught you this morning. He's going to evaluate you based on what you dug out of the scriptures for yourself. But the more I dig into the promise of God's word and the promise of the rapture, the more I dig it. Might be today. Are you ready? Are you ready? Listen, if you don't know the Lord, I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. When this happens, it'll be like that. It's going to be the twinkling of an eye. He said, you'll never know. It's going to be by surprise. It'll just suddenly happen. We're gone. There'll probably be an instantaneous, a sound of a trumpet. We'll probably hear it for just a second, which will be really cool. And suddenly we're going to be out of here. The world won't hear that. We'll just hear it. It's a spiritual thing. And then we're gone. If you don't know Christ, you're not going. Now, here's the good news. You can still be saved afterwards. If you don't give your life to the Lord, well, I'm going to wait to see if this is really true. You can do that. You can do that. If you're skeptical, you can do that. And then after the rapture, you can still be saved. The Bible says multitudes of Jews and Gentiles will be saved after the rapture. They're going to realize, what was I doing? What was I thinking? Lord, I need you now. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. You're probably going to have to die for your faith. Because if you don't take the mark, you will be put to death. Apparently, there will be some believers that make it through. You know, maybe it's all the bunker busters that are out there. I don't know. But the reality is, why wait until then? Jesus says, all who will come to me, I will in no way cast them out. Confess your sin. Just humble yourself. Ask forgiveness. Ask him to be your Lord. Give your life to him. Listen, the worst thing that can happen is you go to heaven and you're saved forever. That's pretty good news.
Are you carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders? Does your stress level climb when the price of gas rises? Have your hours been cut back at work? Are the bills piling up? Is it all too much to handle? Listen to this call of Jesus and let the peace wash over you. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These verses are found in the book of Matthew, the same book Pastor Mark is teaching from today's message. When the world feels like it's just too much, reach out for Jesus. He is always right there for you, ready to give you rest. And as a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville, Come to the Table is here to bring you biblical teaching that you can rely on through the hard times. For more messages like today's, you can head over to thewaymedia.net. There's a tab labeled Come to the Table, where you'll find many more messages from different books of the Bible. And while you're there, if you have any questions or comments about today's message, we'd love to hear them. Just look for the questions and comments link. Come to the Table is a radio ministry that comes from the teachings of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the East Tennessee neighborhood, we'd love to have you drop in and see us. You can find service times and locations on thewaymedia.net. Thanks so much for joining us today. Pastor Mark has more to share from Matthew. So we hope you can be with us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.